You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Continue our lesson.
All right. Good evening, everybody. I haven't got much of a voice. I've been sick for like the last 12 days. So okay. Hopefully I'll be recovering soon. All right. So far this year, as we think about our focus on Jesus, what would you say God has been trying to teach you about your own personal spiritual journey? So just begin with by talking with the people around you and just share with one another. What is he teaching you? What are you learning about yourself in your own personal walk with the Lord? Okay, just for a couple of minutes. Okay, that's wonderful. Okay, guys. Would any of you just like to share? Let's see what themes we have. Justin, it's up to you.
What I'm learning is that, you know, to accept the way that God has created me. I'm created to be who I am. I'm nothing more, nothing less. God is number one. God is in control. God has all the power. God has all the knowledge. We need to learn to be humble and listen to God. And allow God to guide our lives. And when we do that, we start to see changes in our life.
That's true.
Amen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just, like, so grateful for God's love and God's mercy and God's forgiveness. And, you know, like, I have no idea how I even forgot who God was and became so lost. But, you know, I'm grateful that God loves us and is willing to accept us and bring us back in.
Amen.
Great. And, thank you.
You know, I just want to encourage all of you, you know, like, when you're in a situation and you don't understand what's going on, like, God has a reason why God is doing what God is doing, and later on you don't understand. So just keep going, guys.
Great, thank you. Thanks. Okay, so listening to God, allowing him to guide us. Okay, somebody else.
I've been...
Michael, keep it brief if you can.
Yeah. So you spoke about things about, like, what are we putting before God and stuff like that. So I was sharing with these guys, Steve and Johnny, that I had to really check myself. Like, what are the idols that I'm putting in front of God? And so, and then Anthony came and he asked, are you being stretched? Where are you stretching yourself? Mm. That really challenged me. So I just was really challenged by that. So what I started doing is two-a-days. You know, like you work out, you do two workouts a day. Well, mine is two prayer times a day.
That's
just
great.
Going on prayer walks. And it's really, really changed. Because the second time that I pray, it's just thanking God. Just thanking him for the day. Thanking him for listening to me and answering prayers.
Yeah, that's great. Wonderful. Excellent. Okay, I'm sure there were some very similar things. But, you know, Steve on Sunday, the text that he was preaching from is in John chapter 7, which is where Jesus talks about streams of living water. And so I wanted to share a little bit more on top of that, just to kind of focus in on what did Jesus mean by this phrase. Okay, so John chapter 7. So this is what he says. So it says, on the last day and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. I really liked what Steve shared on Sunday about giving the background to this whole festival. And the very fact, and I did a little bit of research myself, and this final day was like the pinnacle of the feast. And so at this time, the high priest would have poured water onto the altar, and there would be absolute silence. No one would have said a word. And then what word do they hear? Jesus shouting out in a loud voice saying, hey, don't drink that water. Drink from me. Can you imagine how the high priest would have felt? Can you imagine what people would have been thinking, the murmurings, what they would have said about Jesus? What? This guy's crazy. Drink from him? And yet he had the boldness. He had the courage to be able to stand up and make such a bold proclamation that they should drink from him. And I love what he says. He says, "Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So here he says that when we believe in Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, there is a river of living water that flows deep within us. What is he talking about? What does that mean? What do you think? What does he mean by that? We can have some hands up. You know I like interactive. Dylan, okay, a little bit more. So it does say the Holy Spirit, but what does that actually mean? Like in what way? How? What do you think?
I think he helps us obviously interpret the word of God.
Okay.
But he gives us strength and power to actually live that out as well. I think you see that in disciples before and after the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Was given to them, and the strength and the power that was given them to spread the word.
Yeah. How many of you confidently feel that there is river flowing within you that is giving you guidance and strength and courage and overcoming every day of your life? Okay. Not many of us. But Jesus said that we have that living within us.
Right.
He doesn't say that it's, you know, it's only conditional on us being in him. So what's the problem? Why is it that we don't all feel like we've got this incredible energy source flowing through us, empowering us, strengthening us, encouraging us? Why is that? Remember this diagram. So this is Dallas Willard. And so he says that the problem is that the Word and the Holy Spirit is trying to penetrate very deeply within us, and it has to take root within our spirit, which is within our mind, and then it begins to work its way through every part of our body after that. So it's our mind, our body, our social interactions, and ultimately our soul. And when we're able to fully understand this, then we begin to see more of the Holy Spirit at work within our lives as each part becomes empowered by him. How many of you feel when you first got baptized, you felt way more of the presence of the Holy Spirit than you do maybe some years on? Anyone relate to that? Okay. So at that time, we were a blank canvas, right? And the Holy Spirit was able to work through our lives. And you remember the joy even coming out of the water.
Yeah.
And like, and what that life was like and the way you were able to overcome sin. You didn't want anything to do with it. That was beautiful and amazing. Okay? Sadly, we allow things to kind of block that stream the older we become as Christians. The key and the answer is, Jesus says, come to me and drink. So the question is, and we're going to talk about this a little bit today, is that this is not a source that we have to go to within ourselves. It is outside of us. And it is a source of strength and vitality that we can only find in Christ and by spending time with him. Think about this. These are called what? The fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, many years ago, I was in London and we did a series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit and how, and I was kind of young in the ministry, and the series was, how can we put these into practice, or how can we grow in these? I don't remember the Holy Spirit being mentioned. I remember us focusing on what does faithfulness look like? What does goodness look like? And it's important that we understand so that we can identify them. But where does it say those things come from? The Holy Spirit. They are fruit of the Holy Spirit. They're not things that we manufacture ourselves. They're things that come out of our walk with God. By us drinking from Jesus, coming to him, these things will naturally come out of who we are because of our walk with Christ. I don't have to worry about self-control or patience or kindness if my walk with Christ is so deep. If it's so strong, if I'm walking with him daily, those things will naturally come. Does that make sense? Okay, Richard Foster, have any of you heard of him? So he's a contemporary of Dallas Willard. And he and Dallas Willard really are the fathers of spiritual formation. And he wrote this book. I'm reading it currently. It's a great book. It's called Streams of Living Water. And what he identified that was within Jesus, he had these six streams through which the Holy Spirit was able to manifest his power through the life of Christ. And we're going to talk just about one of them today because I think that's the starting point. So he says there is the contemplative, which we're going to focus on today. There was a holiness stream, which is the Holy Spirit helps us to live a holy life. We can all understand and relate to that. There is a charismatic stream, which is one completely filled with the Holy Spirit, seeing God do miracles in your life, helping you, helping other people. Social justice stream, Jesus was around helping people in need. Evangelical, which is more about the word of God itself. And incarnational stream, which is us, what we're doing this year, which is trying to have Jesus take root and be formed within us. And so he says here, streams of living water, six spiritual traditions emanating from Jesus's life and tradition. So today, life and teaching, thank you. So today I want to focus in on the first one only, which is the contemplative stream, which is known as the prayer-filled life. And it's our heart's steady attention on God. And I think this is where they all come from. Okay, this is like the mother of all streams. Okay, and if we're able to really live this one out within our lives, this is how we connect with God and with Jesus. So Richard Foster, he says this, the contemplative stream reminds us that Christianity is less like a rule book and more like falling in love with God. Amen. That's our Christian life. Amen. But think about that. How often do we engage in our spiritual disciplines, in our spiritual activities, as a time of us just getting to fall in love, an opportunity to fall in love even more deeply? Unfortunately, we do see them as spiritual rituals that we have to do. Sadly, that's what they can become. And then when we do that, we kind of feel good that I had a quiet time, good that I prayed today, but we've missed the opportunity for that stream to fill us deeply with God's love by being in his presence. I love this. It says the contemplative stream is the steady gaze of the soul upon the God who loves us. When we spend time deeply with God, not just an exercise, but deeply spend time with him, what are we connecting with God? Our soul. What is our soul? How would you define soul? What is that? One of my sons asked me that question the other day. Go ahead.
Soul is it's kind of like the God-given individuality that everyone has. Because in God, there's no flower that's alike. Nobody has the same fingerprint. So you are made in his image. And like when he made you, he broke the mold because there's nobody else in the world like you.
Okay, so your individual essence. Okay. Okay, I like that. Anyone want to add to that? Dylan?
It's eternal.
Eternal, yeah. So it's the part of us that is eternal, that will live on, the only part of us that will live on. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, anyone else?
Conscious?
Yeah, could be. Yeah. So there's, in Greek, this word, the soul, is psyche. This is where we get our psyche from, so our consciousness. Yeah, it's connected to that. So it is this eternal individual essence that is you, that is truly you. It is the part, you know, I think it's the part when God says, let us create man in our image. That's the part. That is the part that is like God, that will be with God when we die. And so we live this life, and our soul is living where until we meet God? In this physical shell, going through all the challenges that we put it through, And yet it longs every single day to what?
To be with God.
And when we decide and we take the time to prioritize God, to spending that time with Him, our soul is healthy and our soul is well. Amen. Take a look at this verse. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Isn't that an incredible verse? Look what it says. As we go around and we say to each other, hey, how are you doing? How's life? How's things? Oh, I've been a bit sick recently, or, you know, I lost my job. No. I don't want to know that. How is your soul? That's what John is saying here. How is your soul getting along? That's the question that we should be asking one another. How is your soul? Is your soul getting along well? So I would like you to talk to the people around you and answer that question. Is your soul, how is your soul doing? Is your soul getting along well? We won't have any feedback, but right now, go ahead and just talk to the people around you for a couple of minutes. Okay, everybody, if we can focus our attention back this way. So, in a moment, we're going to take a look at what we can do just to help our soul to do well. But how many of you would say that your soul is in a good place, is doing well? Okay. We've got some half hands. Okay. You know, the good thing is that our spiritual life really is a journey. Okay. And, you know, He constantly, through the Holy Spirit, through us spending time with Him, will be trying to call us, of course, always back to Him. And how your soul is doing today, just one time spent with God tomorrow can make all the difference. Okay? Totally change how His health around. It's not like it has to be on a course of spiritual antibiotics for 2 weeks to get better, but just one time spent with God and your soul is doing well. Okay? So, the contemplative stream. Let me just to read this a little bit, and then we're going to just do a little bit more interaction. So, the contemplative stream is basically summed up as the prayer-filled life. So, Richard Foster identified that the number one best way that your soul can be doing well is simply in prayer with God. Nothing complicated, no degree needed in soul, you know, dynamics. Simply pray. Spend time with God. It's as simple and as easy as that. The contemplative stream, very simple, is a life of loving attention to God. Jesus, who retreated often to rugged wilderness, who lived and worked praying, who heard and did not, and did only what the Father said and did, shows forth the contemplative tradition in its full and utter beauty. You don't see this happening, even for Jesus, without prayer.
Yeah.
You've heard me say it many times. If Jesus needed to pray, how much more so us? We cannot be spiritual without prayer. It's impossible for us to. In contemporary society, our adversary, the devil, majors in three things: noise, hurry, and crowds. If he can keep us engaged in muchness and manyness, he will rest satisfied. He wants us to be busy. He wants to distract us. He wants us to think that actually, if I just snack on God, then that will be enough for my soul. But actually, we don't even ever really think about our soul, how that's doing well, because we maybe see these times with God as a spiritual exercise, yeah, rather than a means to an end, which is the end is our soul spending time with the Lord. Have a look at Jesus, Luke 5, 15 and 16. Yet the news about him spread all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus was busy, constantly harassed by the people, constantly. And yet he withdrew to lonely places so that his soul could be with God, so that he could be with God. Abide in me as I abide in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, as it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. This is the link to the fruits of the Holy Spirit. When our soul is deeply connected to God, we will bear great fruit. By ourselves, we cannot. And so we end up trying to live this Christian life on our own, and it is hard. It's difficult without God's strength, without his streams running through us. All we need to do is go back to this main stream, which is your prayer life. So let's talk about that for a second. Is there anything blocking your stream, your prayer-filled life? What gets in the way of you connecting your soul to God? Okay, next interaction. Answer those two questions. Discuss with each other.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.